Hello everyone and welcome to the 23rd edition of the Roots Aviation Podcast. I'm Wes Charnock and I'm the Managing Editor for Roots.
Hi, and I'm David Casey, the Online Editor for Roots.
Today's podcast was recorded live at Roots Americas 2019 in Quebec. We're delighted to bring to you a far-reaching overview of the future of the aviation industry by Naval Taneja, author and aviation expert.
Naval has 5 decades of experience in the aviation industry, having advised major airlines as well as aviation-related businesses worldwide. As the author of 11 books, his latest came out this year, entitled Replatforming the Airline Business.
We really hope you enjoy this podcast, and if you do, please don't forget to like and subscribe on the iTunes or Android channel. Thanks very much for listening, and over to Naval.
It's an honor to be invited to provide some perspectives on how the global aviation industry is changing and why, and what are some of the strategies that different sectors of the aviation industry can follow. As was pointed out, that I'm not new to this industry. This, in fact, is my 50th year working in the industry. And what I can tell you is that change is not new concept to the aviation industry, hardly. But what is new is the breadth of change, the depth of change, and the speed at which change is taking place. So change is not new, but as I said, is the depth, breadth, and speed with what is taking place. So the first question that comes up is why? Why these 3 changes that we're talking about? Breadth, depth, and speed. There are 4 basic fundamental forces, and not just 4 forces, but their convergence and their intersection that is behind the major change that we're talking about. And what are those forces? 1 is consumers. Their changes in their demography, in their segmentation, in their demands, in their expectations. So consumer is the first force. The second force is technologies. Technologies with respect to information, communication, analytics, and technologies relating to the vehicle, both air and ground. So the second force is the technology. And remember, I said, it is their convergence and their intersection. It's not that the consumers and technologies are not connected. They are, and I'll point out why. The third one is the complexities. The aviation business, whether it's airlines or airports or aircraft manufacturers, has always been a very complex business for a variety of reasons, such as regulations just being one of them. But the complexities are not going away. Some of the traditional complexities that we've had with respect to the legacy systems are still here. But now there are more complexities coming in. So the business is not becoming less complex, but is becoming more complex. So that's the third force. The fourth force is new competitors. Now let's talk about that for a second. Let's take airlines. It does not mean that we're going to have new airlines. No. We are going to have new competitors for airlines, and they're going to be in the area of distribution. It's not new airlines that are coming in. It is new distributors that are coming in that are going to change. And you say, well, how about airports? Yes, new competitors for airports too. Airports that are new hub and spoke systems we're talking about. Aircraft manufacturers, new vehicles, whether they are ground vehicles like the driverless car or hybrid electric airplanes that are very small. And I think you're scheduled to hear a presentation on Thursday on the from Zunum airplanes. That's an example. Uber's flying taxis. So there are going to be new competitors there too. So where I'm getting at is that these 4 forces are the reason for why the change in our industry is going to be monumental. What are some impacts and what are some changes in business models that we should be looking for? And that's what I'm going to spend about 20 minutes talking about that. Some changes. Let's talk about the consumers. I said demographies. If you look at organizations such as IARA, which is forecasting a traffic growth of 5 to 6% per year in the next 20, 25 years, where is that growth going to take place? It is from people in developing countries, China, India, Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, and so on. Up till now, the United States has been the number one country in terms of the air travel. People going to, from, and within. Number one. Has been for decades. In less than 10 years, is no longer number one. China will be number one. And look at the change in the top 10 countries as predicted by the International Air Transport Association. India will move up, way up there. Indonesia will move up. Thailand would move up. And all you got to do is look at what's happening in Vietnam, the growth there. So what I'm saying is that the growth in the next 5, 10, 15 years is coming from developing countries, not developed. Two is that it's leisure travel. It's not business travel. Now, that doesn't mean business travel is dying. Of course not. But the rate of growth is going to be much smaller than the rate of growth for leisure travel or personal travel. But that sets a very different set of requirements, a very different business model. So the consumers are really one part of the change in our business model. The second one is technologies. As I mentioned, that information communications and analytics, they are not only giving us much deeper focus and information on customer intelligence, but also business intelligence. Intelligence for businesses, whether they're airlines or airports, what kind of products and services are going to be desired by these consumers? What are their expectations? That's one type of technology. Another type of a technology that's going to have a major impact are, for example, when you take biometrics and sensors, the minute a passenger steps into the airport, the security is started. You don't need to go to a security line. You start walking to where the airplane is. And security will be done. 98, 99% of the customers will just keep walking to the airplane. 1% of the customers, somebody from the government will start walking with you and say, could you step here for a second and I want to ask a couple more questions. But 98% of the people have gone straight to the aircraft. Now think about that. If they're going straight to the aircraft, they're going to buy maybe a Starbucks cup of coffee or a newspaper. They're not going to buy $100 shoes or ties or suits or jewelry. So what about the revenue of an airport that comes from these expensive concessionaires? Gone. Driverless car coming in. Take me to the airport. Pick me up 3 days from now at 9 o'clock. Where do you think the car is going to go? Park at the airport at $40 a day? Gone. So the need for business change in model is that the space that's required for parking, the space that has been used for concessionaires, we're going to have to think differently. See what I'm getting at? Right? All the forecasts I see are that the major airports around the world will continue to remain congested. I beg to differ. Technologies, and this is the intersection of technologies that I'm talking about. The driverless cars will replace some of the short-haul air travel. the hybrid electric small airplane will replace some of the short-haul travel, not have to go to hub-and-spoke systems. And even if that takes the pressure off the major airports by 5%, well, then you're no longer congested. How about the development of ultra long-haul narrow-body equipment? The Airbus A321neo long-range airplane, capable of flying 4,000 nautical miles. What if there were hub-and-spoke, new hub-and-spoke systems set up using the narrow-body equipment only? Where? Urumqi, China, the northwest part of China. Hyderabad, India. Casablanca, Morocco. Medellin, Colombia. You notice the examples I'm giving you? Think about that. Casablanca, Morocco. That airplane will take people from North America to Africa. Medellin, Colombia. North America to South America. Why do you need to go through Miami? Now, does that mean Miami will disappear? Of course not. But the congestion may disappear, and if the congestion disappears, so does the pricing power. What I'm saying is that there are things that are going to happen. The ultra long-haul airplanes, I was in Sydney last week talking to Perth. They already have airplanes that are flying right now, today, nonstop from Perth, Australia to London Heathrow. Same airplane could start flying from Sydney and Melbourne. So why do you need to connect at Singapore, Hong Kong, Dubai? You don't. Now, again, that does not mean that airports like Singapore and Hong Kong have become tiny. Not at all. But the connections have changed. It is no longer from Australia, major cities such as Sydney and Perth and Melbourne, but it is from much smaller cities like Cairns to Singapore to London. You see what I'm going about? So the nature of the connections has changed. China is becoming such an important, powerful country in aviation that they are developing their own hub and spoke systems. Not just in Beijing and Shanghai and Guangzhou and Shenzhen. They are changing. So they are going to be diverting a lot of the traffic. So the traditionally congested airports, to say that in the next 20 years they are going to remain congested and slots are going to be there, I beg to differ. You take away 20% of the traffic, you're no longer congested. Still big airports, but you're no longer congested. Smaller airports are going to play a much bigger role as a result of changes in technologies, consumer preferences, and the economics of it. Okay? Leaving aside the complexities, I see time's going to run out. Let me just go straight to the part of new competitors. For airlines, the new competitor isn't another group of airlines. We already have full-service airlines. We have lower-cost airlines. We have ultra-low-cost airlines. That, by the way, those definitions are blurry. What is JetBlue in the U.S.? Is that a low-cost carrier? What is Aer Lingus in Europe? Is that a full-service carrier? So the definition of full-service carriers and low-cost carriers and ultra-low, that's blurring. That's changing. I propose that there's going to be a totally new type of regrouping. I propose that there will be, I was asked to be a keynote speaker at an IATA meeting a couple of months ago where I said that I'm going to go and stick my neck out and say, finally, there's going to be distinction between airlines. The real distinction, the real brand, that there will be about 10 airlines in the world that would become global brand name players. The services they provide will be demanded by customers. Not they decide what they're going to do, but what the customers want. The network, the frequency, the schedule, the convenience, the personalization, those are the characteristics these 10 global airlines in the world will provide. They will be known. They will finally be known. They will finally be the Apples, the Sonys, the Mercedeses of the airline industry. The rest of them, I divide into two groups. One is what I call followers. They'll follow these 10. Now, they'll be very good either in operations or in marketing, but not both. They will not have operational excellence and marketing innovation. They'll be good in one or the other. They're followers. And then the last group is what I call bystanders. They just stand and watch what happens. They're not going to disappear. Now, I'm not going to stand here and name those airlines, and you know it, and I know it. They'll continue to exist, supported by government, supported by whatever, continue to lose $1 billion a year, but they're still there. I have another name for them, not bystanders. Irrelevant. The 10 airlines, they don't care. Fine, you know, take the garbage traffic and whatever and keep losing $1 billion a year and be supported by your government and be on the crutches. No brand. No nothing. So I am predicting that there will be a new categorization of airlines. But what's the most interesting thing for the few minutes that I have left is that what are the characteristics of these 10 airlines, and I'm talking about the airlines, I could talk about airports too, that make them that make them the leaders? Technology. If you go back in the business world, any business, not aviation, any business, and ask them, can you have operational excellence? And they would say, yeah, yes, we have examples of that. Ask another group, can you have marketing innovation? And the answer is, yeah, this over here. But can you have both? No, it has been very difficult to have both until now. And why? Technology. Technology is going to develop internal platforms for an aviation organization to achieve both characteristics, technical and operational excellence, as well as marketing innovation. Let me give you a little bit of a specific example of what I'm talking about. Take an airline, and the airport could be a similar example. Take an airline. There is an operational group within airlines which are saying, we want to have the maximum efficiency, the lowest cost, the highest productivity. That means standardization. As few type of airplanes as possible. One would be good. Okay, fine, two or three. But that's it. Crew, standardization. That is what achieves operational excellence, the lowest cost. But then there's the commercial group. We want to have a diversity of products, meet the needs of a diversity group of customers. That means higher costs, more products, cabin services, four kinds of cabin services, 20 kinds of prices. That means higher costs. So which one is it? So there is this tension between the commercial part of the organization and the operational part of the organization. And this has been it, the marketing axis and the operations axis. Now we have platform. Technology platforms that allow us to integrate not only the sub-functions within operations, flight operations, ground operations, crew, and all that, do all of that, maintenance, repair, and overhaul, but over here in commercial, revenue management, pricing, customer service, loyalty programs, integrate them. Integrate within this and within that and then between the two. That is what is going to give us the operational excellence and marketing innovation, which are what the leading characteristics of airlines and airports are going to be. And for that, this is enabled by technology. Platforms. Platforms not only where different buyers and different sellers come together, but platforms where data comes. I'm suggesting, for example, not just a hub and spoke system where physical things are coming into the hub and physical things are leaving out, meaning airplanes coming in, crews coming in, passengers coming in, right? Those are physical things. It is now information. It's information on airplanes, information on crews, information of passengers coming in, and the hub and spoke system is all analyzed, synthesized, using analytics, and what goes out is, again, information. It's not physical assets. So I'm suggesting a hub-and-spoke system where the analysis is not on physical assets, but information. It is using those type of characteristics that are going to develop us into leading airlines and leading hub-and-spoke systems for airports. These examples that are provided where new technology airplanes will be used by the secondary type of airports, which will become brand-named airports to compete with the existing airports. The existing airports are not changing their business model. It is the smaller ones that are going to have to do it. And as I said, keep saying, is that it's basically the information, the availability of information using advanced analytics. And I want to go back to this thing that I said, that there are going to be new kind of entries by distributors, because that will change the airline business model completely. These are large companies that will provide the type of personalization that customers are looking for because of their own knowledge on the customer, because of their knowledge from other sources. I mean, think about it. You know, a passenger, an airline says, well, this passenger is either very poor or is very cheap, buys the lowest price tickets. And yet, if you look at the American Express card of that person, he's buying Rolex watches at $8,000, our mini suits at $4,000. But when it comes to airline, $212 ticket. Why? Because doesn't see value. Now, these distributors are going to come in and provide the value that the customer is looking for by integrating the data, synthesizing the data from all sources. And therefore, the control of the customer, this idea that people say, who owns the customer? Nobody owns the customer owns the customer. But who can leverage the information? Who can monetize the information? Those are the new distributors coming in. Whether they are powerful companies like Google and Amazon and so forth, or they are smaller companies that work on platform to provide and meet the total mobility needs of the customer, not just selling them seat from airport A to airport B in business class or economy class, meet the total mobility needs of customers during regular operations and during irregular operations, both, right? And that is, if that's the question, then let me go back to my three types of airlines. The leaders, the followers, and the bystanders. The leaders are going to say, no, we're not going to have these new type of distributors take over the marketing. We are going to control the distribution. We are going to keep the distribution direct with us. And they will be able to do it because of their brand name and the use of data. The followers, 50-50. And the bystanders, 90-10. 90% is in the hands of these new distributors. We'll take it. I mean, think about it. If one of these major companies comes up and says, I'll buy 10% of the seat on an airline, the airline will say, okay, that's just a bucket, 10% of the seat, I'll sell it to you. Goes to another airline, I said, I'll buy 10%, okay, I'll sell it to you. Continue that cycle. This company buys 10% of the seats on every airline in the world. It's now the biggest airline in the world. Doesn't have any aircraft, doesn't have any crews, doesn't have any of those problems, but yet it's the biggest airline in the world. It can market its services in a way that will really shake up the industry. It's not going to happen. Really, it's not going to happen. What if one of these major guys goes and buys an airline, a major airline? Oh, come on, the board of directors are not going to sell it. Really? What if says that, what is your market capitalization? $2 billion. How about if I give you four? The board of says, well, at four? Make it six. Okay, done, sold. See where I'm going at? You got to really look at the bigger picture of how the changes are taking place. And while we all focus on our narrow things, we got to look at the bigger picture. And where I think the problems are is that the CEOs of airlines and airports and major technology companies, in whether it's aircraft manufacturers, they have to have a vision which is far different than the vision that we've had in conventional planning systems because of these major forces. They've got to take the time to think about how the business model is changing. What do we need to do to change? Create two type of organizations inside, the organizations that are helping us to maximize the value that we see currently and the value that we're going to see in future. So the decision lies with not just the CEOs, but the board of directors, who are not just puppets to do whatever the CEO wants to do. They're going to say, hang on, why are we doing this? We need you to rethink the business model of all sectors within the global aviation industry. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. Don't forget to check back in 2 weeks' time and we'll have another Roots Aviation podcast for you.
And of course, if you do like this podcast, there's plenty more content on rootsonline.com, and you can like and subscribe to this channel on iTunes and on Android. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks.